Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search rockc3 for our app. This is the fourth week of our series called The Pack, and this week Pastor Josh Finkley explains why we should act like wolves. Enjoy the message.
Well, Rock Church, you guys doing okay today? Everybody good? You with me here now? So thankful for you guys here in Conway, and I want to give a big shout out to our family, to our pack that is with us in Aynor and online. So let's give it up for the rest of our pack. So glad that they are with us and glad that you're tuning in and joining with us in this. And if you're new with us here in Conway, just know that you're part of something larger than just this. That we have an online community. We have an Aynor campus. We have a coastal campus. We have a J. Reuben campus that is going to get relaunched here pretty soon. So just that you're just part of something bigger than yourself. So if you're new with us, I'm glad you're part of the pack and I'm glad you're here. I do invite you. If you're new in Conway or at Aynor, stop by our Connect Corner. There's a physical Connect Corner that you can go and get connected with. If you're online, then I encourage you to just go by the digital Connect Corner that's right there in the corner. All right. So I hope you've enjoyed this series. The series has been called The Pack. And through it all, basically, I've been challenging us to just to function, to act like a pack of wolves. And I know that's not language that typically you hear from a preacher. It's not language you typically have at a church where we say, we want to be known as a pack of wolves, right? Like we said, week one, that's not something you normally hear. But hopefully, for those of you that have come for 4 weeks now, that you're like, nope, I get it. I want to be like a pack of wolves. I want to allow the wolf to rise up inside of me. Because when we do, well, the landscape changes. Maybe if I could say it this way today, if we will act like wolves, then the landscape in which we live might just change. We actually see that when wolves function as a pack, they change the landscape. There was something that happened back in 1995 about the Yellowstone State Park, National Park, that the deer population at that time had overrun the park. And so they made a decision to actually bring wolves back into the national park. There's an incredible video about it. You can watch it on Google. It's on YouTube. And the guy who does it, he's got a really cool, like, British/Australian voice. Sounds much better than me. I'll just be honest, I sound like a guy who smoked 14 packs of cigarettes last night, okay? That's me, right? Like, I just know that. My voice at 11:30, that's where we're at. This guy's got a really cool voice, and you'll love the video. But let me tell you about the video real quick, all right? The video is a guy he talks about how in 1995 that the wolves were reintroduced into Yellowstone National Forest, National Park. And when that happened, they did it to take care of the deer population because it had overrun the park. And not just that it had overrun the park, but it was destroying the landscape. That the actual park landscape was being destroyed. The vegetation was being eaten. The animals were basically moving out because there was no food for them. Because the vegetation was gone because of the deer. The rivers were eroding the banks and changing the landscape that way. So they reintroduced wolves, and by doing so, they started killing the deer. The deer started realizing that they had to start migrating to different places, that they avoided the valleys, they avoided the canyons, they avoided the river banks because they knew if we hang out there, the wolves are going to eat us. So what actually happened is small animals started coming back, that grass started growing back, that trees started growing, that beavers came and built dams, which changed the rivers, that the trees started growing taller, which brought back bears. It started making the soil stronger and the rivers stronger. So literally, by bringing wolves back, by a pack of wolves living at Yellowstone National Park, the landscape was changed. And that's why I want to challenge you to act like a pack of wolves. Because I'm just curious. Would anybody say that maybe our families need to change for the better? Would anybody say that our schools need to change for the better? Anybody think that our universities need to change for the better? Does our community need to change for the better? Does our nation, does our world need to change for the better? Anybody with me on this? Like that's where I'm at. And this is what I believe. If a pack of wolves, like literal wolves, can change the landscape, how much more can a pack of faith-following, Jesus-loving people change our families, our schools, our universities, and our community? Anybody with me? You're with me? Thank you, Tim. That's what I want us to grab a hold of. And that's what this whole series has been about. Because we're all part of a pack. We all have packs. That pack might be your family. That pack might be your roommates. That pack might be your teammates. That pack might be your church family. And listen, if you're sitting there and you're all alone and you're saying, I don't have a pack, I want you to know that there's a place in the pack right here for you. That there's a place in the pack. Maybe you're watching online right now. You need to know there's a place in the pack for you. There are hosts there for you. They want to connect with you. They want to bring you into the pack. That we want you to know there's a place in the pack for you. And this is what I believe. If we will start acting like wolves, then we can actually change the landscape. Well, how do you do that? Like how do we make that happen? Well, what I would say is simply this. Know your role and do your job. It's that simple today. Know your role and do your job. Because if we will all know our role, and then we will simply do our job, then we can literally change the landscape. And it starts by knowing your role. And for that, I want to go back to the book of Acts, all right? And in the book of Acts, the early church was getting founded, and they were functioning like a pack of wolves. And there came a point where there was some disagreement on roles, where some people didn't understand their roles. So the apostle said, let's get clear here on understanding, on knowing our roles so that we can do our jobs, all right? So it starts by knowing your roles. Let's go here. It says this in Acts chapter 6, it's starting in verse 1. It says, but as the believers rapidly multiplied, there was rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food, all right? Now, I need to unpack this a little bit. I wish I could unpack it fully, but I just can't, okay? What we've got going on is the early church is growing, and because the early church is growing, it's bringing in people from different cultures. It's bringing in people from different ethnic backgrounds. So the church is expanding, and it's looking different. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago, that our church, our pact, should look different. That we shouldn't all look the same. That we shouldn't all be the same age. That we shouldn't all have the same educational background. That we shouldn't all have the same ethnic background. That we should be a multi-generational, multicultural, multi-ethnic pack. Amen? That's what we should be. Because that's what lives in our community. Like we have people from all different races. We have people from all different age groups. We will be this gen led as a church, but as we're this gen led, we can reach all generations, all right? But when that happens, there can be some disagreements. There can be some, well, I don't understand how that's happening because we come from different cultures. And that's literally what's going on in this verse. That there was two different ethnic backgrounds, so they came from different cultures on how to take care of widows. And the Greek-speaking widow said, we see how you're doing it, and we like that, and our widows aren't being taken care of in the same way, so let's figure this out. And that's what the church does. The church says, let's figure out how to bring people from different backgrounds and different diversities together for the greater good because we're all part of one pack. So that's what they're doing. There's a whole sermon there that I don't have time to go into. But because of what was happening, the apostles had to step in. And this is what they said. It says, so the 12, that's the apostles, they called a meeting of all the believers and they said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. So here's what's going on. The apostles are trying to say, we need to help people understand their roles. Because if you don't understand our role, then it's going to get real confusing. And I get that. Like it hasn't changed 2,000 years later. Like people get confused about my role as a preacher all the time. You know what I mean? Like I know it. Like a lot of you, I shouldn't say a lot of you, people will ask me, Josh, do you only work on Sundays? No, we have Thursday night services as well. I work at least 2 days a week. And some of you will say, yeah, but you only preach for 30 minutes, so that means you work for 2.5 hours a week. Be nice, okay? But in seriousness, like sometimes like people will be confused about my role. Maybe you get confused about your role. They were confused about their role back then. That the apostles are saying, listen, like we gotta set some things straight. We gotta help everybody understand my role, our roles. Because what's gonna happen if we don't understand our roles, people get hurt. And see, the church was growing, so they're going, we know we got to teach the word of God. We know that that's what God's called us to do, that our primary job is to communicate truth to the congregation, which is my primary job, my primary role. There's other roles I do, but that's my primary, okay? And the apostles were saying, our primary role is to communicate the word of God to the people, so we need to find some other people who can function in their role. And here's why they're saying it. Because if there's a confusion in roles, people will get hurt. That's literally what's going on. They're saying if we don't come to a good understanding of our role as apostles, then people, meaning back then, namely the widows, are gonna get hurt. And this is what I believe. I don't even wanna say this is what I believe. I think this is what I know. Right now, in our community, in America, there is a confusion over roles. And because there is a confusion over roles, people are getting hurt. Well, like people are confused about the role of a man in America. People are confused about the role of a woman in America. And people are confused about the role of a man in a church. People are confused about the role of a woman in a church. People are confused about gender. There's all kinds of confusion out there. And the reason why is because we've been confused over our roles. And when you get confused over your role, people get hurt. So let's just take some time and let's come to a good understanding of what our role is. Let's go to God and say, God, what is my role? Like God, I want to know my role. So what is my role? And the beauty is God tells us. The beauty is God lays it out very clear for every man, every woman, what our role is, all right? And here's the first thing that he tells us about our role, who we are not. See, like we think our role is to be an alpha. Like we think our role is maybe an alpha male or an alpha female. And I know culture says I'm really not supposed to use that term anymore, alpha male, alpha female, all right? And I really like that term. I honestly really like that term. But here's the problem. It's not true. Like nobody's role is to be an alpha male. And nobody's role is to be an alpha female. Nobody's role is to be an alpha. And here's why. There's only one alpha. And his name is Jesus Christ. That he's the alpha. He gets to be the alpha. I don't get to be the alpha. But here's reality. Let's just admit it. How many of us have tried to be the alpha in our life? Right? That we're like, I'll be the alpha. I'll make the decisions. I'll decide what I want to do. But what God says is, no, I'm the alpha. And he says that by looking at the book of Genesis. That the alpha created the world. The Alpha created the seas. The Alpha created vegetation. The Alpha created the animals. The Alpha, God, created all things. And he created us. You can't be the Alpha if the Creator is the Alpha. But what are we? Beta. Every one of us. Your role? Be a beta. And I know you're probably not going to see books written on that one. Maybe I should write a book on that one. Everybody wants to write books on being the alpha. No, be a beta. Because the beta does what the alpha wants. Even in a wolf pack. If you study wolves, the beta wolf will serve at the pleasure of the alpha. The beta wolf will fight off everything else. The beta wolf will stand ground. The beta wolf will do everything he possibly can for the alpha wolf. And we are created to be betas, serving and submitting to the alpha. That is for the male and the female. It's not that the males are beta males and ladies are Charlie females. It's not that at all. There's beta males and beta females. God has called all of us, teenager, senior citizen, he's called you to be a beta. And again, let me go to scripture and show it to you. Acts chapter 2, verse 15. He said, men, here's your role. Be a beta. The Lord God took the man, all right? So the man didn't go there. The Lord God, the Alpha, took the man and put him in a garden of Eden to work it and watch over it. All right. And again, we talked about this a little bit at our man event yesterday. And Aner, campus pastor Scott, did a phenomenal job talking about this. All right. So let me just talk about it a little bit. That we as beta males, that you got to understand that God took us. He placed us in the garden. He said, here's what I need you to do. I need you to work and I need you to watch. I need you to till the land. I need you to work the soil. I need you to work the land. I need you to do whatever is necessary right here to take care of the land and to watch over all of it, to shepherd the flock, to rule over it. That's what God created man to do, to watch and to work. That we are to do that because we're serving the Alpha. Remember, it's his place. And he says, this is what I need you to do. And you might say, okay, so that's what a man does. Well, what does a woman do? Same thing. Honestly, there's no difference. No difference in this role. And here's what I mean. A man's job is to watch. A man's job is to work. A woman's job, come alongside and do the same thing. We are a pack that functions together to work and to watch. That we work the area, we watch the area, we work for our pack, we watch over our pack. Man, woman, we're all created to be beta. Let me go back to scripture. First 15 says that he placed man in the garden. Verse 18, this is what he said about woman. Maybe. Here it is. All right, it says this. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for a man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. That what God is saying here is the role of the woman is to help the man work and watch. And I know sometimes that you've heard it, maybe you've thought it, maybe you've wondered about it. You might say, well, helper, that seems secondary. Well, helper doesn't sound like helper seems like a bad term, you know? And I want you to see exactly what God's getting at here. That he's saying man is incomplete. Like man can't do the job. Like man can't do the job that I've called him to do without the female. That we work in sync with one another to do all that God has called us to do. Those are our roles. I love the way that John MacArthur said it in his commentary, and I'm just going to read his words. He said, the words of this verse emphasize man's need for companion, a helper, an equal. He was incomplete without someone to compliment him in fulfilling the task of filling, multiplying, and taking dominion over the earth. This points to Adam's inadequacies, not Eve's insufficiencies. That we need each other to take care of the pack. That when it comes to your family, we need each other. When it comes to the church family, we need each other. That it takes both man and woman, from young man to older man, young woman to older woman, working together to work and watch for the Alpha. All right? So that's how we kind of do it in the family. What about in the church? We got the same thing holds true, that we're here to serve and submit to the Alpha. We got to know our role that way. And again, that takes me back to Acts. If you go back to the book of Acts, you'll see it where the apostle said, we got to find somebody who can do this role because we don't want confusion to happen, all right? So let's see it. It's Acts, the book of Acts chapter 6. It says, everyone liked the idea and they chose the following. Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Philip, Procurius, Nicanor, Timon, Pumbaa. Okay, maybe not Pumbaa, all right? But that would have been funny, all right? Anyway, Timon, Parmenius, and Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to Jewish faith. These seven were presented to the apostles who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. Here's what that means. Is in that moment, as a church, that the apostles said, listen, our role is to communicate the gospel. Our role is to teach the word of God. That's our role. We need somebody else to fulfill a different role because I need somebody else who will complement. I need somebody else who will come alongside. I need somebody else who will help. And if we understand our roles, then we can do our jobs. And I want to dive into this whole idea of doing your job. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to communicate it here in Conway and online, and I'm going to let Scott communicate it to those of you in Aner. That if we know our role, then we can do our job. Because the apostles, they knew their role, that they had to communicate the word of God. So they needed somebody else to know their role so that they could do their job. And their job was to take care of the widows. Their job was to help pass out food. But they do that so that they can also communicate the gospel. See, here's something that is critical that we make sure we understand. Because if not, we'll read this passage and we'll think, okay, it's the preacher's job to teach the word of God to communicate the gospel. And it's our job to do something else. It's our job to run a camera. It's our job to open a door. It's our job to clean a bathroom. No. That's not it at all. That we all have roles that we can do as we communicate the gospel. See, my primary role is to teach the word of God, all right? And I do that, and as I do that, I'm doing my job. And I'm doing my job so that I can communicate the gospel. When you do your role, you're doing it so that you can communicate the gospel. See, Stephen, who was mentioned in the seven, I don't want you to think all he did is waited on tables. No, in the next several verses, we actually find him preaching the word of God. Communicating the gospel, so much so that he gets killed for it. And two chapters later, a guy named Philip, who was part of that seven, he was out evangelizing. He came across a guy who didn't know the word of God, and so he started talking to him and telling him that he needed to repent and that he needed to be baptized, and he went down into some water and baptized the guy. That as you do your role, you do it out of reverence for the Alpha so that you can communicate the gospel. And let me make this real practical. How does that work out in your family? Well, like, think about this. If I'm going to say my role is to be the person that God has called me to be, if my role is to be the beta for the Alpha, well, then how do I do that? Well, it comes through submission. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 says it this way. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That my job is to submit. That my role, that the role I carry is a beta, and I can do that role, I can do that job by submitting in all areas, all right? For instance, in the family with one another, I submit to one another out of a reverence for Christ. That if he is my Alpha, then I'm going to submit to him as I submit to everybody else. Think about your family unit for a second, all right? Just curious, how many of you in here are married right now? Just raise your hand if you're married. Okay, so this is going to work really well for you. You're going to get this. How many of you in here right now have kids? Okay, it's gonna help you. How many of you all in here right now are a child? Yeah, really everybody, right, Mike? Like we all have been born, okay? If not, we need to talk. I need to figure out your story, okay? But we're all children, okay? So even just in the family, I want you to see how this plays out. How if you know your role, you can do your job. Wives, what's my job? Submit. Submit and serve your husband. Well, how do I do that? Respect. Look at it. It's right here in Ephesians. For wives, this means submit, or other translations will say respect your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. That here's how this plays out. That if I know my role, and my role is to be the beta to the alpha, and the alpha is Jesus, well, then I'm going to do my job in my family, all right? That I understand that my job is to submit to Christ. And one of the ways I do that, one of the ways I reflect Christ, is actually submitting to my husband. That I literally communicate the gospel just by respecting and submitting and serving my husband. And I do this in all things, all right? Now, you might read that verse and go, whoa, you mean all things? Obviously, we're not talking about unbiblical things. We're not talking about things that are not of God. But if it is of God, then we submit and we surrender and we serve our husbands. And by doing so, you can actually point people back to Jesus. Now, it's the same way with husbands. If wives are to submit to their husbands, guess what husbands are supposed to do? Submit to their wives. All right, it's a two-way street, all right? That marriage is a mutual act of submission and service. And this is how we see it in Scripture. It reads this way. For husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her in the same way. Husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. That think about this, that when you as a husband serve and submit to your wife, what you're actually doing is saying, I'm willing to sacrifice. Like if a wife submits and serves her husband through respect, a husband submits and serves his wife through sacrifice. That I sacrifice on behalf of her. And when you do that, you are functioning, you are fulfilling, you are modeling actually what Jesus did for us. If you think about Jesus, Jesus loves you so much that he calls you the bride. And I know as a dude, that's weird sometimes, but I want you to think about this. Jesus loves you so much that he was willing to submit. He was willing to submit to this place. He was willing to submit to this earth. He was willing to come here. And he said, I love you so much that I'm willing to serve you. I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. That he loves you so much that he submitted to death, he submitted to the cross, he served you by going to the cross, and he sacrificed his life so that you would recognize that you are loved. And as husbands, our job is to follow the example of Christ. Our job is to submit and to serve and to lay down our lives for our wives, to sacrifice. And when you do, you preach the gospel. When you do, you're preaching the gospel to your pack and to the community. But let's go a step further with families, all right? It's not just about husbands and wives, it's also about children, all right? Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you. All right? And let's just be honest, that's pretty simple to understand, right? How many of you have at some point in your life did not honor your father and mother and disobeyed them? Okay? Yeah, probably all of us can raise our hand. How did it go? Not good, right? Not good, right? I mean, we understand that. It's the consequence of our actions. But if we'll actually honor, things can go well. So here's the challenge. If I know my role, well, then I can do my job, and my job is simply to honor my parents. And honor them in all things. So some of you are teenagers. Some of you are young adults. Some of you are maybe elementary age. Do your job and honor your parents. Because in doing so, you can preach the gospel. In doing so, you can change the landscape of your pack. But I don't want to just leave it there, because some of you are not teenagers. Some of you are not young adults. But your job is the same. You still got to honor your parents. See, here's how the family life works. That your parents are the beta, and in that role a little bit, you're kind of like the Charlie, right? But there comes a point. Some of you are there with me. You're about that age, or you're a little older than me, all right? That it comes a point where your parents are the beta and you're the Charlie, and then all of a sudden it shifts. And what do you do when that shifts? Honor your parents. Do your job. Because when we do, we're preaching the gospel. We do our jobs with that family pack, but you also do our job in that church pack. I want you to think about it this way. What's the job? Well, as a wife, it's respect. Submit and serve by respecting. As a husband, you submit and serve by sacrificing. As a child, you submit and serve by honoring. So how do you do it as a church family? You submit and serve by contributing. That's the way it is for a church family, is we contribute. That my challenge for anybody who calls the Rock home is that you'll recognize that as I submit and serve Christ, if he's the Alpha and I'm the Beta, then I'm going to contribute. I'm not just going to consume. All right? It's easy to come in a church like ours. It's easy to be a consumer. It's easy to come in, enjoy, experience it, have a good time, and then leave. And again, if you don't have faith, that's fine. But if you call the Rock home, or a better way for me to say it, if you call the Rock, if you call this place your pack, well, then contribute. Because when you contribute, again, you change the landscape. You do your job. I saw a perfect illustration of this just last week. We have a guy who serves on our worship team. His name is Blake. And Blake is a construction guy by trade. That's what he does all week long. And then he leads worship and helps out around the church on weekends. And last week he led worship. And I was talking to him in the green room after service. And I said, Blake, dude, man, you led worship at Region on Tuesday. You led here on Thursday. Then you led again on Sunday. Man, thanks for taking the time to do that. He goes, oh, it's no problem. I'm actually heading to camp right now. I'm going to lead worship tonight at camp. I said, you're leading worship tonight at camp? He goes, yeah. And he goes, and then tomorrow morning I get to do it again. And then tomorrow night. And then Tuesday morning. And then Tuesday night. I was like, Blake, you don't need to do all that. He goes, oh, yeah, I do. I said, no, Blake, seriously. You don't need to do that. He goes, yes, I do. And I said, why do you need to do all that? And he said, because you told me to. I was like, I did what? He goes, it's my made for more. And I knew exactly what he meant when he said that. You see, a year, maybe a year and a half ago, I stood on this stage and I cast some vision, because that's my role. And as I cast that vision, he listened. And the vision was to have a fresh conversation with God about your kingdom calling and about your kingdom generosity. And when Blake heard that he started evaluating. He started having a fresh conversation with God about his kingdom calling. And he knew that God had called him to lead worship. He knew that he had the ability. So he knew that was his role. And that's a role that he can do. It's not a role I can do. I can't do that. I don't have that ability, all right? But that's a role that he can do. So he said, I had a conversation with God and I understood my role, so I'm going to do my job. And that's something he can do. And maybe something you can do is rock a baby. Maybe that's a role you can have. For some of you, you can't. For some of you, you can. Some of you be like, I can't go there. You know what I mean? Like some of you could work with middle schoolers, and a lot of you say, but I can't. Some of you can go, I can work with elementary kids. And some of you say, I can't. That's okay. Because that maybe isn't your role. But maybe your role is you could work with elementary, or you could work with middle school, or you could run a camera, or you could serve coffee, or you could work with one of our mission partners. I don't know what it is. But for Blake, he understood, my role is I can lead worship. And this is what he said to me. He said, so I recognize that was something I could do. So my made for more was I'm going to lead worship at every opportunity I get as long as it's feasibly possible. And that's why he leads worship. That's why he was at our coastal campus this morning leading worship, because he knew it's his role and it's a job he could do. And when you do that, you change the landscape. See, I don't know if y'all realize that, but a lot of you are doing that right now. A lot of you are living out your made for more right now. And let me catch up to speed, because I know not everybody was here when we talked about made for more. What it was is we cast a vision of saying that we wanted to add a campus in Aynor. That we said we want to add a Kids Rock environment here in Conway. That we wanted to add a room for kids with disabilities here in Conway. We said we wanted to change some things and add some technology to this campus and to our coastal campus. We said we wanted to start planting churches. And we said to do that, here's what we're going to have. We're going to have some people say that they're going to have a conversation with God about their kingdom calling and step up and do their job. We also said that we're going to have conversations with God about kingdom generosity, and people are going to have to understand their role and do their job. And I'm proud to say this about our pack right now, that this year, here's what's happened, is we went into this year, 2021, with a flat budget. We basically said, we're not adding anything to our budget over last year. We're keeping it flat. But every dollar that we get in addition to that, we'll use to build out those campuses, to build out that environment for kids with disabilities, to plant churches and do that. And so here's what's happened over the last 5 months. Right now, a coffee bar has people in Aynor that are worshiping the Lord right now. That's happening right now. That in the same parking lot, walls are going up right now. That by September, our kids will have their Kids Rock environment in Aynor. By Christmas, we'll be worshiping in that box. It's going to happen because people understand their roles and they're doing their jobs. Right here in Conway, last week, walls went up in our Kids Rock environment and our room for kids with special needs. Went up. And our goal is this fall to open that up, right? And we're going to have to work hard, but we're going to do our job. We're going to do our job. Here's something cool. So far this year, in 5 months, we've helped 5 churches get planted. 5 churches, all right? Not ours. No church with our name on it, all right? These are 5 churches. One of them's in Haiti. One of them's in Atlanta. One of them's down on the intercoastal. One of them's on the other side of the Waccamaw. One of them's just down the road from us. And people say, you'd really partner with a church just down the road from you? Yes. And here's why. We know our role, so we're going to do our job. And I'm going to trust that church to know their role and to do their job. Because what it's going to take is a pack of wolves who are willing to know their roles and do their jobs. And if we do so, the landscape might just change. Might just change. And I want to see that landscape change in your family. I want to see that landscape change in your marriage. I want to see that landscape change in our community. I want to see that landscape change in our schools. I want to see that landscape change in our universities. And it's going to happen when we first know our role. And that's to be the beta to the alpha. If we don't get that right, nothing else will be right. But if we will stop trying to be the alpha, stop trying to be the person that says, well, I'm in charge. No, we're not. People ask me all the time, Josh, you in charge of the church? No chance. No chance. Somebody asked me yesterday, they're like, you the head man around here? I'm like, absolutely not. I'm not the head man. Timmy's not the head man. Tyler's not the head man. We got one head man, and his name is Jesus Christ. That's it. I know my role. I'll do my job. I'll let him know, do his job, because he's really good at it. So let's stop. Let's stop trying to be the alpha. Let's be the beta that God calls you to be. I know that sounds weird. But if you did, the landscape might just change in your life. So allow the landscape to change. Allow the landscape to change. Maybe you're going to do that by coming up and praying and saying, Jesus, you're the alpha. Maybe you want to take communion and say, Jesus, you're the alpha. Maybe you just want to sing and raise your hands and say, Jesus, you're the alpha. For some of you, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. What you need to do right now is say, Jesus, I'm done being the alpha. because I failed at it. And I'm going to give it to you. And pour your life out at his feet. Pour your life out at his feet. Maybe for you, you're going to say, he's the Alpha. I'm the Beta. Maybe you're going to take a step of baptism. It looks like we got one of our elementary kids going to take that step right now. I'm fired up for that. Pour your life out on his feet. Recognize him as the Alpha. Church, let's respond.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about how to give to God through The Rock, you can find that information on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.